the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Genesis chapter number 32, and we will parade and peruse the periphery of verse 24 through verse number 32. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When you have Genesis, Bereshit in the Hebrew, Genesis, the beginning of beginnings, the book of Moses that he wrote, the first book of the Torah, the first book of the Bible. Amen. Chapter number 32. And you're looking at verse number 24. So I have the word. And I'm ready to receive the word. Amen. Genesis chapter number 32, verse 24 says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh until this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinews that shrank." Amen. May God of the blessing of those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought, a title, a tag here this morning: wrestling for a change. Anybody wrestling for a change? Wrestling for a change in life, a change in mind, a change in heart, a change in character. Wrestling for a change. The book of Genesis, again, is the first book of Moses, as it's called in Hebrew text. It's Bereshit, the beginning of beginnings, meaning that Moses wrote this about the beginning, how God created everything. He created heaven and earth, and the earth was our form and void, is how it starts off, right? And God said, "Let there be," and there was light, right? And you wonder, how did Moses know these things, being that Moses wasn't there in the beginning? Well, there was a day when Moses asked God to let me see your face. And God said, "No man has seen my face and lived." He said, "But there's a place beside me in the cleft of the rock." He said, "When I pass by, you can see my hinder parts." So basically, he allowed Moses not only to see his hinder parts, but everything that had happened behind him, which was the beginning. Amen. Amen. We need to know also that in mentioning that the cleft of the rock, Jesus is that rock. Amen. And so when Moses came down, the Bible says that he came down and his visage or his face was changed. So much so that the children of Israel said, "Moses, cover up your face. Cover up your change. You look like God, unless we die looking at you." Amen. So sometimes that's what we do. We cover up our change. We cover up what God has done for us. We cover up the part of us that look more like God, that'll help other folks change, because they're afraid of what might happen. Amen. So Moses wrote this book, and we find the text here is talking about Jacob. Jacob is the brother of Esau, the son of Isaac and Rebekah. Jacob, he had 12 sons, and they became the 12 tribes of Israel. At this point, what had happened in Jacob's life is that Jacob, whose name, check this out, his name means supplanter. It means deceiver. It means heel catcher, or somebody who will just pretty much take what's not theirs by action. Jacob came out of the womb as a go-getter. Esau was about to be born, and Jacob caught him by the heel and pulled him back in the womb. Jacob had ambition to be something and someone, and he didn't care what it took to be it. They had to tie a piece of string to Esau's leg in order for him to be noted as the first one that actually came out, because he came out and he got pulled back in. So Jacob was the heel catcher. Jacob pulled him and said, no, you can't go because I'm trying to get out of here first. Jacob from birth was a trickster. He was a heel catcher. He was a determined person. And you know, sometimes you got to watch out for people who are real determined. And I'm not saying this in a positive way right now, because some people are so determined they don't care who they hurt. They don't care who heel they catch. Y'all with me here? Because of their ambition, they don't care what they say about you. They don't care what they do to hurt you. They don't care who they destroy. They don't care how many people get hurt. Just let me have my way, because I'm a heel catcher. Amen. Ask somebody, are you a heel catcher? Jacob. Jacob is a supplanter, meaning somebody who will set up shop where it don't belong to him and take the shop. That's him. So Jacob, what happened was one day, Isaac was getting old, and his eyes had grown dim, and I shared a bit of this last week at the end of the message. His eyes was getting dim, and he was going to give the blessing of God. And so as he began to give the blessing of God, Jacob deceived him to make him believe that he was Esau. And I won't go back into that whole story again about how, you know, who he was portraying, the older brother, in order to get the blessing. It's what you got to do in order for God to bless you. You got to be like Jesus, the older brother. So he says, not only that, but before that, Esau had sold his birthright to Jacob for a pot of beans. Jacob knew he was hungry, and he said, you know what? If you give me your birthright, I'll give you a little taste of these beans. And he was a trickster. And so after this, after he took the birthright and the blessing, he ran off to Laban's house, his uncle. Laban was also a trickster. See, it was in the family. Because first off, it was Rebekah who taught Jacob how to trick his daddy. And it was Rebekah's brother who Jacob went to work for. When he worked, he said, I want to marry Rebekah. But he ended up giving him Leah. And he said, but if you work for me for 7 more years, I'll give her to you. Jacob stayed working for 21 years. Before you knew it, it was 20 years already gone before he realized, I've been here too long. Yeah. So he had gotten tricked. Now the trickster gets tricked. Yeah. So you got to know before you, you know, become a deceitful, tricky person, that sooner or later it's somebody that's more trickier than you. Yeah. You may be slick, but there's somebody more slipperier than you are. Y'all still with me here? And so he was tricked into those years working for that man, but while he was there, the tricker was still tricking. Y'all hear me here? Because while he was working, he knew how to breed animals and to be able to save them for himself, and he began to get a large herd of animals, of cows and sheep or oxen, whatever you want to call it. He was able to get a large group of them that was born to him. And he had not only his wives, right? And he had his handmaids, or we could call them, in the Bible, sometimes they call them concubines. He had them. Here he was, because it was time to go back, and he knew when it was time to go, he decided that I'm going to go back home. But Because that's the, but because what he was, God didn't intend for him to be. He ended up there because of his trickery. Y'all still with me? I'm trying to teach you something. Sometimes we end up in some places that we are because of our trickery. Because we are supplanters, because we are deceitful and deceiving. And even in our prayers, we try to deceive God, but God know our motive. Amen. Y'all still hear me? That's why James said is when we pray, he said we pray sometime amiss. In other words, with the wrong motive, with the wrong idea in mind, not praying the will of God. And the Bible even tells us in Romans chapter 8, we don't even know what to pray for. He says that the Holy Spirit make an intercession for us according to the will of God. Y'all still with me? And so here's the crisis. Jacob is saying that I must go back home and I must go back to the land that was promised to my father and his father. And I can't be in this land because God promised me that land. And you know what? When you mess up some stuff where God told you to be, you got to go back to it and confront it. You can run, but you can't hide. Lord, have mercy here. You can leave it. You can go your separate way. You can say, that's it, I quit. But you got to still come back to the same stuff and the same people. If you want God's promises, whoever you wronged, you got to come back to them. If you want a relationship with God, whoever it is, I don't care who was right or wrong, you got to know, acknowledge your part. Acknowledge that I was wrong too. Acknowledge that I didn't do the right thing. Acknowledge I said too much. I overdid it. I let my anger get to me. And I'm here to be the bigger person to try to get this fixed and get this right. Let us let bygones be bygones by trying to get along. Amen. Jacob decided, I'm going home. But now he ain't going by himself. Now Jacob has a lot to think about because he has children, 11 of them, right? And he have wives, two of them, and a few other concubines. And then he have all these people that are the host of his company. And look at all the possessions that he has. He's a rich man now. And he ain't got to be as deceitful as he used to be. And he's getting a little older now. And so he wants to get these things right. Yeah. Oh, come on and say amen. Amen. And so in order to get it right, it's only one thing standing in his way. His brother who he deceived twice. His brother who he stole from. Huh? It's his brother who declared, I'm going to kill you. And the mama said, run to my brother's house and he'll take care of you there. And whenever Esau come down, I'll send word and you can come back home. And 20 years passed by and she never sent word. Esau held this in his heart for 20 years. Y'all don't hear me. We're no different than Esau. We're no different because we can hold stuff in our heart for 20 and 30 years. Thank God, God kept Esau from dying during the time that he held it in his heart. Thank God he ain't let you die last night because you know you went to bed with hell in your heart. Preach. Esau was angry and he vowed that I'm going to kill my brother, you know, and here we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Y'all hear me? Listen up, because we sometimes have this stuff in our heart. We go to the same church. We listen to the same teaching and the same preaching, serve the same God, got the same, we say we got the same Holy Ghost, but we hate each other guts. Brothers and sisters. Y'all hear me here? And we have this thing in our heart against somebody who we're supposed to be, we've been born of the same womb. Yeah. We've been born again. We've been born of the Spirit. We've been born of the water. We have confessed. And we still have this anger and frustration to the point where we want to murder them, but we want to murder their character. And we want people to be mad with them because we mad with them. I'm not going to get mad with somebody because you mad. I'm just telling you. I'm my own person here. I'm my own man. Because you mad with somebody ain't going to make me get mad with them. Just because you don't like somebody ain't going to make me not like them. Just because you got something bad to say about them ain't going to say nothing bad about them. Because you a hater, I ain't finna get in your hate. I'm not going to participate. And we have to stop that. We have to stop taking sides. Because there's always three sides to a story. There's that story and this story, and then there's the truth. And I'm just going to stay in the middle, and I'm going to wait for truth. Come on and say amen. And so here's this crisis. The crisis is that I got to go home, but if I go home, I'm going to face Esau, who said he's going to kill me, and I don't want to die. Esau, when I left him, he was a hunter. That means he knew how to handle weapons. And I was a domestic man. I knew how to cook. I knew how to, you know, I knew how to grow some greens, and I knew how to, you know, I knew how to do some other. I didn't know how to do all of that other stuff, but I didn't hunt, but I knew how to feed chickens and cattle and sheep. But my mama taught me how to do some stuff, but my daddy didn't teach. I wasn't like my daddy. I didn't go out hunting and stuff. So Esau was a killer by nature. He knew how to kill some animals. He knew how to prepare them. He knew how to cut them up. He knew how to do all of that. So blood didn't bother him. Y'all hear me? And he had to go face this man who knew how to do what he did. And he said to himself, he said, you know what? When I go back, I think I need to come up with a plan. So at this point, Jacob had, when he left, he had went through and there was a place called Bethel. The word Bethel means house of God. Means the house of God. And the reason why he said it was the house of God, because when he passed through there, you ever heard of Jacob's ladder? He saw angels descending and ascending, right? He said, this is the place, the house of God. This is where God is, right? And so when he came back, he went back through by Bethel. Now, the thing about it is that Jacob had an experience with God. He had this experience, but he was still a trickster. He went through Bethel. He went to church. He went through Bethel, and he was still a deceiver. I'm trying to. We got to know that some people that are going to be, you know, they have their encounter and their experience with God, but it doesn't completely change them. That's why we have to wrestle for a change. That's why we have to pursue God, for God to change us from the inside out. Oh, hallelujah. And so he says, now Jacob, when he went there, then he came back through by Bethel, and he came to a place, and this place, when he came back through, he saw angels again. He said, wow, there's a host of angels. And that's a Hebrew word he used, but he said, there's a host of angels. He called that place the host, the place of the great company of people. It was his people and the angels. He knew that the presence of God was there. He said, I got to get back to a place where the presence of God is. And so he knew that the presence of God was there. And while he started to think about what he had to do, up until this point, he hadn't really prayed about it. He had planned on how he was going to handle it. See, sometimes we think that we can handle stuff on our own. A lot of times we think that we can plan it out. This is how it's going to work. And then when it don't work like that, we get mad with God. And we start saying, God, you didn't do what I wanted you to do. I asked. I had faith. God said, you never asked my will, but you wanted me to perform your will. Y'all still with me here? And so Jacob, up until this point, had a plan, but he didn't have a prayer. And that's how we are. We plan stuff all the time and expect God to just tag along. See, we want God to come along with us. We don't want to seek him for a plan. We don't want to seek him for purpose. We want him to tag along. You know, that's how we got religion. We just, God, come with me. If I go, God, won't you go with me? God said, I'm everywhere. So if you just come with me, I wish I had somebody, things will be all right. But the problem is, we want God to come on as a ride along, as a tag along, just in case I need you, just in case it don't go right. I can call on you just in case. I can refer to you just in case. I can ask you a question because I really don't want your advice. I just want to ask you to do what I want you to do. God, I want to use you as my personal go-getter. Go get this and my go for God, go for that. Come on and say, man, sometimes we got to get out of that. We just want God to be with us. I don't want him just to be with me. I want God to lead me, Brother Lion. I want him to lead me. I want him to guide me in this path. I want him to walk with me, talk with me, show me the way. Come on and say amen here. And so here he is. He comes back through, and the Bible lets us know he came back through that night. And when he came back through that night, he decided, he said, look, I know what I need to do. I need to pray, but I can't do that with all y'all around. Sometimes you got to get by yourself. Jacob began to, he said, look, I care about my family, but I'm finna split them up in two groups because I found out Esau is in hot pursuit. He mad. He gonna kill me. He got 400 men that's been trained to fight, and all I got is me and my family. I ain't got no army. I ain't got no fighting men. See, I ain't built for fighting. That's why I'm always running. Preach. He ran from Esau. Then he went to Laban's house, and he ran. And when Laban least expected it, he took off and left Laban. He's a runner. See, some of us, we claim we fighters, but really we runners. We talk a lot. Lord have mercy. We do a whole lot of talking, but we ain't about that life. Huh? We do a whole lot of talking, but we don't have no, we can't fight a spiritual battle because we don't know how. Because we've been too reliant on our own mind and our own heart and our own ability to trick our way into whatever it is we want. You ain't got to say, man. I'm going to stay on it a little bit. There's a crisis in our life sometimes when we think that we are able to do something. Be honest with yourself. You know you're not a fighter. You know you don't know the way. You know you ain't as powerful as you want people to make out you are and think that you are. You try to make all this big to-do about how religious and how holy you are. Just be real. Yeah. Say, I came through Bethel and I met God, but I'm still a deceiver. Yeah. I'm still a trickster. I need some help. So when you come back through Bethel, I wish I had somebody. Maybe you'll sense the spirituality of Bethel. See, the first time he was amazed at what he saw, but the next time he understood, I'm in a great company of hosts of angels and people, and there are great spiritual things going on around me. Maybe you'll get a revelation that everything still around you is spiritual. And you'll quit wrestling with people. Ephesians 6 says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and evil wickedness in high places, the darkness of this world. We wrestle against that, but instead we fighting each other. That's how I know you just passed through Bethel and you ain't seen that. Because you're fighting people and you don't realize your enemy is the devil. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. So I don't have to fight with you. I need to address the devil. And let me tell you something. If you address the devil as you better address him as Christ. If you do, you'll be like Sceva, his sons. Devil, I know who you are. And he whoop you, you know. Anyway, but we got a crisis here because now he has to split up his family. And he got to be by himself. For the first time in Jacob's life, he decided that he would go ahead and sacrifice himself for a change. Isn't that something? All his life, he had been sacrificing other folks and taking from other people. But now, it was just him. He said, look, if anybody going to die, let it be me. Y'all just go ahead, go this way. If they attack, at least one of y'all, one group will get away. But before he did that, he said, let me see if I can trick him into my kindness to him. He still had a little trickery. Because he had 580 animals, gifts that he sent to him five different ways, five different times, and one after the other, they brought these gifts to Esau. He said, he told him, this is what you need to say, your servant, my lord Esau, your servant has sent this to you. Sometimes you gotta be aware when people when they give you a gift or a compliment, you don't know what their intention is. But it's okay because Esau understood and he knew what was going on. He said, "Now I can't trust Jacob, even though he sent me all these gifts. I gotta still go see what's happening because he might be coming to get whatever else I got." He already took my blessing, and he already took my birthright. Now, what else is he coming to get? I know he got a reputation. I know him better than anybody. He's my twin, the evil twin. Y'all hear me? And Esau says, I got to go see. Even though he give me gifts, I still don't trust him because I know that he's very capable of deceiving me and taking what I got. And you think people are just going to forget that you're capable of. I had a fella tell me one day, I told him, I said, man, you rotten. I was just honest with him. I said, you rotten. I said, you did this and you did that. I said, and I watched you tell this guy this, and I said, man, that's wrong. He said, well, God's working on me, But good thing you saw that, because you know now that I'm very capable of being good and I'm very capable of being bad. So pray for me, Pastor. And he was honest. He said, but I want to do more good than bad, but I can't stop doing bad yet. He was honest, and I respect that. Now he's a preacher now. I just say he went through Bethel, and he met God. But he got to come back through and be changed by God. So the crisis is this. The crisis is that he's about to die. He don't know what's going to happen to his family. He think that Esau is going to kill him. Esau don't know what Jacob is going to do. And see, sometime when we don't have communication, we don't know what the other part is up to. And when you ain't talking to the other party and the other party ain't talking to you, guess what? The devil talking to both of you. Especially at home, a husband and wife, you walking in and you all up against the wall because you don't want to speak. You don't want, I ain't talking to you. You're in the same bed, on the corner of the bed, ain't sleep a wink because you're trying to hold on from falling out the bed and you don't want to talk. But the devil telling you all kind of stuff. He in your mind tell you, don't look at her. She did that on purpose. Why she left that? He left that on the floor. He did that on purpose. Don't pick that up behind. The devil talking to both of you. Why she sprayed all that stuff knowing my sinus is bad? She just did that on purpose. And the devil is talking to both. And all you got to do to fix that is talk to each other. The problem is we don't want to do that. We know what each other's capable of. Jacob knew that Esau was capable of killing. Esau knew that Jacob was capable of deceiving. And they didn't want to talk out their difference. Communication. That's why we must, the Bible said that if we got a problem with each other, we ought to go to them. Amen. If they don't receive us, take somebody else as a witness. Amen. If they don't receive that, bring them in front of the church and say, I tried to get it right with them. I tried to do the right thing, but they won't let me. Come on and say amen. This is what God gave us a solution to all these problems, but we won't take God's way. And it's because of the deceit in our heart. Okay, so that was the crisis now. And so here it is, verse 24 says, and Jacob was left alone. Here is the contending. The contending here represents the prayer life of Jacob. He says, and there he wrestled with the man until the breaking of day. Hosea said he said that Jacob actually was crying and weeping and pleading with God all night. That's how he described it. The book of Psalms 68 says, it says this, is that if we regard iniquity in our heart, that God won't hear our prayer. Amen. So when we say that we are praying and we got this mess in our heart, pray, but God ain't hearing you. Iniquity, that's hidden sin, that's deceit. And so Jacob had this in his heart, and he had not repented for how he had done his brother, how he had been deceitful even to his uncle, and things like that, how he had deceived his own father. When you try to deceive the father, guess what? You're going to pay. So he says that he wrestled with a man. He had a contest and a conflict with a man that night. And what that means is that while he was alone, while he was by himself, he had an opportunity to search himself. And when he began to search himself, he realized that the only person that can change the situation was the God that he heard his father and grandfather talk about. And when he began to pray, he began to be in a place of anguish where he was wrestling with the deceiver he was and versus who God wanted him to be. And then he wrestled with this man, and the man here, many theologians believe that this man is representation of Jesus Christ, because you can read down further, and it was the angel of the Lord, amen? And he says that he wrestled with him until the breaking of day. One thing I know about prayer, either prayer will solve your problem or it will strengthen you in the midst of your problem. And I don't understand how come people won't pray, because when you go to pray, the Bible said man ought to always pray and not to what? Faint. We faint too quick. We want to give up too fast. We throw in the towel too easy. And and God is not intending for us to faint and throw in the towel. He intends for us to be strengthened through it all. So when I pray,